visitors. We appreciate you coming. Appreciate being with you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You pray for us, and we'll pray for you. I preached every night this week, Thursday night. Some people thought I've reformed. No, I haven't really reformed. You got a reprieve, what you got. I was timed this morning by, I won't say who, but I was timed. 28 minute sermon. Sister Cannon, you haven't got your watch tonight. She always times me. Well, never fear. Someone else is taking your place tonight. I do appreciate preaching to you folks. It isn't how long you preach, but it's that moment I feel you get in the message to where it's time to open up for all the time. And that might happen 5 minutes, might happen 50 minutes, but we want God to have His way, don't we, church? So God bless you, and we appreciate being with you, and we just are praying with you for great revival. For great revival. I say for great revival. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I hope you accept this because I feel I'm right. 3:20 of Revelation, Scripture said to the church at Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Based on that, Laodicea type of attitudes in church, and all these attitudes can be a composite from the book of Revelation 2, chapter 2, verse 3, all the seven churches are indicative of the last church time before the rapture. But regardless of that, I'm just going to tell you something. I believe profoundly, Laodicea can have revival. That's what he said, open the door and I'll come in. It'll work, won't it, folks? You just try and see. I challenge you to worship God during this preaching. I challenge you to surrender to Him. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost right during the preaching of the Word of God. They did in Acts 10:44. The Holy Ghost fell while Peter yet spake these words. Is it all right with you, church, if the Holy Ghost falls during the preaching? I guarantee you, if the Holy Ghost falls, you'll do some motivating and moving around. It's not going to fall on you just sit there. Yes, sir. Everybody say, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. What you need is a personal Pentecost. That was a reading from Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. And as you know, Calvary was God with us. Bethlehem was God with us. Calvary was God for us. And Pentecost is God in us. And that's what we want you to have tonight, is a Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
Opening your Bibles in that same second chapter of Acts, Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the crowds gathered in amazement at what had happened, hearing 17 different languages spoken, these 120 acting as if they were drunk, so much that some mocked them and made remarks that these are drunk on new wine. And Peter had to explain what was happening. And that's really what we're in the business of trying to do. We're just trying to explain to you what's happening, and then we want it to happen to you. Really, in all honesty, I'll just tell you what I'm going to try to do tonight. I'm going to try to convince you to get drunk. That's really what I'm going to try to do. I want to see you filled with the Spirit. And so he preached, didn't he? And all through the second chapter of Acts, he explained that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in verse 16. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Verse 17. And man, he preached. Until down in verse 36, he came to a crescendo. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now there wasn't but one Jesus, but he was both Lord and Christ. Now he was both Lord and Christ. What's wrong with him being Father in creation, Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in the church? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, join the church of your choice. Blink your headlights twice if you accept Christ as your Savior, and honk your horn if you want prayer. Lay your hands on the radio as a point of contact. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Then he said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the fun of it. Just to get wet. Please your wife. Your husband. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even those in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. That's what it saith. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, see, he was a long-winded preacher too. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, some people don't preach long, don't have much to say. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, sermon answer for Christian is. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Help me out by saying, save yourselves. From this untoward generation. Say it again. Save yourselves. Save yourselves. From this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. His word were
baptized.
Then they that gladly received his word were
baptized.
And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Woo! Hallelujah! I say, Jesus, do it again. Clap your hands. Now, I want you to quote one more verse. It's verse 38, Acts chapter 2. And you quote it with me in unison. Come on, let's really make it rain. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My text tonight is in verse 40. And with many other words, where Simon Peter was preaching, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm just going to preach on those two words, save yourselves. I want everybody I know saved, but I must be saved. Now, I'm not trying to just play on emotion, but would you please lay hands on somebody close by, brother, brother, sister, sister, bless his family, and let's pray for one another that we will be saved, that we will do the will of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us tonight. In the Holy Ghost, we pray. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Would everybody say, save yourselves? You may be seated. Salvation is an individual affair. It is of paramount divine importance. It is the single most important endeavor you will ever engage in with all of your life. Amen. Other things you may do and achieve, but if you're not saved, you have failed. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's because sinners were in the world that needed saving. And I was one of them. 19:10, Luke, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't know your life. But knowing God like I've known God, He's been seeking the likes of some of you for a long time.
That's
right. And He wants to save you. 5:32 of Luke, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:3, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, it is not His will that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. Oh, you would only repent tonight. Your life could be so much different. 6:37, John, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 3:18 of John, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You must believe and you must obey. Not simple belief only, but obedient faith to bring you into fellowship with God.
1 Corinthians 1:21 said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. I thank God for preaching, not that I'm doing it to say it. And I thank God that this is a church that loves preaching. Because it's going to take preaching to save your soul. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to be back out here on midweek Bible study night and hear the man of God expound the word of God. To save them that believe. The Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But does simple intellectual assent or simple faith only of itself by itself enough to qualify you to be saved? I'm going to submit to you that faith without works is dead. That Hebrews 11 and verse 6 said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And there's more to it than just that he is, that he exists. And that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. So you move from the immobile, inactive, to the active and the seeking and searching for God. In fact, Luke 11 and 9 said, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking, it shall be opened unto you. For you must understand, belief alone is not enough, because Hebrews 5:9 said, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So faith is not enough, because the devil believes. James 2:19 doubly says, when God thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. If faith is enough, then the devil can be restored and the devil can be saved. But I'm here to tell you, the devil cannot act on his faith. He cannot, if possible, to come in here and repent at this altar. It would not be accepted. Go to this baptismal tank and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins would not have its efficacious power upon the devil's sin. He can tarry from now throughout eternity and never receive the Holy Ghost, because God's already predetermined. Matthew 25:41, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And of course, Revelation 19:20, verse 10 proves conclusively the devil will be tormented day and night forever and ever. But that's the devil. That's not you. You can act on your faith. You don't have to sit there. You can rise and shine. You can come and repent. You can come and be baptized. You can come and receive the Holy Ghost. In fact, 7:21 of Matthew, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you something about the will of God. There is a perfect will, Romans 12, verse 2. There is a will of God, not any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9. Let me tell you something else about that will of God, friend. Acts 17 and 30, God winked at ignorance once, but now commandeth all men, that's mankind, all men everywhere to repent. Do you realize it is a universal divine edict from the world wide over that every man everywhere needs to repent and turn to God? I ask you, have you repented? Have you turned to God? How many of you are glad that you repented of your sin? Yes, Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and verse 5, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 2:38 said, repent and be baptized. And of course, 3:19 of Acts said, repent ye therefore and be converted. Therefore, repentance is not conversion. It leads to conversion. It is before conversion. You must repent before you get anything from God. And I'm not on preaching to the church, but Revelation 2 and 3 was full of messages to seven churches of Asia, and they were told, all but one of them that I know of, to repent. Even churches have to repent if they want revival. Yes, it's a standard, a constant. Your faith is not enough unless it's activated by your works. That is what you do. in accordance to faith's demands, in compliance to faith's demands. I'm not saying you can save enough SLH green stamps or enough ladies across the street you could help, that you could be saved. You can't deserve salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Titus 3:5. 2:8 of the book of Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's talking about meriting or deserving or earning salvation. There's nothing any of us can do to do that. But I can act on the word of God. I can do what it says, where it says, how it says, when it says, and never question why it says. If it tells me to repent, I'll repent. If it tells me to be baptized, I'll be baptized. If it tells me to receive the Holy Ghost, I will receive it. So we see verses like 1:5-6 of Romans talks of the obedience to the faith. 16:26 of Romans talks of obedience of faith. 6:17 of Romans talks about, but God, we thank that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. 1 Peter 1:22, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. In fact, 5:29 of Acts said we ought to obey God rather than man. Verse 32, he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. 6:7 of Acts said a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. 26:19 of Acts, Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And 1 Samuel 15:22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. All these verses ought to tell you something. You don't have to do anything to be lost. You can sit there and be lost. But if you want to be saved, you got to act on the word of God. You got to do what it says. Oh, I'm glad I didn't fuss with the Bible. The Bible said repent. I said, yes, sir. The Bible said be baptized. That's a passive verb. It's acted upon. And I said, take me to the water in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to key upon your individuality and your inimitableness and the uniqueness of the you. Only you know you. And I must try to tell you, save yourselves. Right. I would to God I could save you. All these good Christians here tonight have the same feeling. We'd save everybody. I'd go to the altar for you. I'd be baptized in your place. I'd be filled in the Holy Spirit just for you, because I don't want anybody lost. But salvation is an individual affair. It's a matter between you and your God. 2 Corinthians 6:2 said, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. There's some things you can put off, but there's some things you best never put off. You have no promise of tomorrow. 4:14 of James said, your life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I've been preaching here since about 75, I think. And it just seems like yesterday. Many times I've crossed the trails of many of you wonderful people. Time is so swiftly gone. I remember some of these young people were little children. And, you know, here they've grown up. And it will be that way, friend, if you keep putting off your salvation.
That's right.
Your life will be gone. Listen to me. 1 Kings 2:2 tells me, David said, I go the way of all the earth. You're going to die. 9:27 Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die. Don't sit there and don't think you're not going to die. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be old to die. You hear me? You just die tonight. Is thy heart right with God? Not how much money in the bank. Do you have an annuity or do you have insurance? I'm preaching about our chance. I'm not preaching against these provisions. I'm just simply saying the single most important commodity you possess is your soul. Is your heart right with God? That's the main thing tonight. Psalm 90:10 said the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is the strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. At the exact split second of your demise, your death, your soul takes its flight. Your body goes to the graveyard as we follow it, and we sob and weep as we lower you in the cold, cold clay. My friend, it returns to the dust. Ecclesiastes 3:20, 3:19 of Genesis. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. Your spirit of life goes back to God who gave it. 12:7 of Ecclesiastes. But your soul. Paul spoke of himself in Philippians 1:21. For me that liveth Christ and to die is gain. Verse 23. I'm in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, would it rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Listen to me, friend. When you die, your soul goes into the immediate presence of God in a state of paradise or a state of bliss. You don't receive a new body, but you're in a state of bliss if you're saved. But if you're lost, you are in a state of torment in a prison house for lost souls or departed souls awaiting judgment. Now my point is this. You're not a dog and a cat and an animal that dies and is no more. Whether you want to agree or not, it's biblical. You're going to live forever somewhere. I said you're going to live forever somewhere. And may I say to you most humbly, with no intent to hurt anybody's feelings, but it would be better for you never to have been born than to live your life and die and go to a lake of fire. We don't want you lost, do we, church? I'm hoping this message will pick your heart and you'll say, preacher, what must I do? And then I'm going to tell you what to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That was the answer then, and it's the answer now. In Acts 2:38, I just read. 8:16 of Acts, 10:48 of Acts, 19:5 of Acts, 3:27 of Galatians, 6:3 and 4 of Romans, and 2:12 of Colossians. 7 explicit examples and references. Water baptism in the New Testament. In the name of Jesus Christ. We are unilaterally told without reservation, hesitation, argumentation, or disputation in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptism is a deed. You need to have a church that'll take you to the water and baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want you young fellows on the front seat, you three right there. It looks like a good trinity. I want you to count these things for me. I'm going to tell you real quickly some Bible examples that we are told to do in Jesus' name. We're told to anoint the sick in Jesus' name. That's one, James 5:14. We are told to believe in the name of Jesus. That's number two, which the scriptures for that are 12:21 of Romans and 2:23 of John and 3:18 of John. Now you count them from now on. We are also told to call on the name of Jesus. Romans 10 verse 13, Acts 2 and 21, and 5 and verse 14, 9 verse 14 rather, of the book of Acts. We are told, friend, to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Mark 16:17 and Luke 10 verse 17 and Acts 16 verse 18. And children are received in Jesus' name according to Mark 9:37. And a cup of cold water given to a disciple in the name of the Lord, you'll not lose a reward. Mark 9:41. And the church was founded in the name of Jesus. Acts 15:14. And we're to confess His name. Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. We are to depart from iniquity in the name of Jesus. I'm not here to blast Alcoholic Anonymous or Gamblers Anonymous or any other help organization that may try to alleviate. But listen, let me tell you something. There's nothing like laying down your cigarettes in Jesus' name. There's nothing like laying down your booze and your card playing and dice rolling and discotheking and winking at your neighbor's wife and stealing hubcaps and shooting dope in Jesus' name. We're to die for the name of Jesus. Acts 15:26, 21, 13 of the book of Acts. We are, of course, to give thanks in Jesus' name. Ephesians 5:19 and 20, Hebrews 13, verse 15. We gather together in Jesus' name. Matthew 18 and 20, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4. Hallelujah. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we've got the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. If you don't believe that, you come up and repent. And we'll use that power of attorney, take you to the water, and we'll baptize you with the Christ-given right and authority. We'll baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes, sir, we glorify in Jesus' name Him. Hallelujah. According to 19:17 of Acts. My friend, we are hated for Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 and 24:9 of Matthew. And Mark 13:13, Luke 21 and verse 17 and John 15, verse 21. And healing is in the name of Jesus. What did Peter tell the lame man at the gate? Beautiful. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts 3, verse 6, verse 16, 10, verse 30 of Acts, and 20 and verse 30, both of Acts. Yes, my friend, there is healing in the name of Jesus Christ. How many here's ever been healed any time? Now, don't raise your hand if you haven't. But you've been healed sometime or another without medicine, without doctors, but Jesus Christ heals you. Raise your hand and shout, Amen. So we're healed in Jesus' name. Acts 3, verse 6, verse 16. 4, chapter of Acts, chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 30. And of course, the Holy Ghost comes in the name of Jesus. Acts 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And why does the Holy Ghost come at the mentioning of the name of Jesus? Don't you come when your name's called? I'm here to call Him up tonight, and that's what you need to do. You need to get down here and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Hallelujah. My friend, we are justified in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. We suffer loss for Jesus' name's sake. According to Matthew 19, verse 29, life is in Jesus' name. John 20, verse 31. We have missions in the name of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 19, 3 John, verse 7 and 9 and verse 15 of the book of Acts. And we magnify Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 12. Oh, my friend, His name's in our forehead. Revelation 22 and 4. We pray in Jesus' name. John 14, verse 13 and 14, 15, verse 16, 16, verse 23 to 26. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We pray in Jesus' name. Persecution is in the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 4, 14. And Acts 4, verse 17 and 18. Acts 5, verse 28 and verse 40. And 9:14 of the book of Acts. Oh, through 17. Oh, yes, in Jesus' name. We preach in Jesus' name. Luke 24, verse 47. And Acts 4 and verse 12. Romans 10, verse 13. Acts 2 and verse 21. I'm here to tell you, friend, we're saved and sins forgiven in Jesus' name. 1 John 2 and verse 21. I'm here to tell you, friend, work and reward is in Jesus' name. Revelation 2 and 3. And Colossians 3 and verse 17. Now, I don't know. I'll just stop right there. How many did you, brother, come up with? 54, close, and 60. Well, I meant to count the things we do, not the Scriptures. Maybe I didn't make myself clear. But there's about 27 different things I tried to elucidate and clarify and mandate and talk about that we do in Jesus' name. Okay, you got it now. So I've come to you with about 54 or 60 verses, ever how they count, and about 27 different things we're to do in Jesus' name. And you go to any church that subscribes to the Christian ethic that believes in Jesus as the Messiah, and they would say, yeah, we believe in that name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Yeah, 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 yeah. I believe all them verses that you've said there. But isn't it odd? Isn't it ridiculous and funny? When they take people to the water, they suddenly get amnesia and they forget what that name is. Well, you're in the church that don't have amnesia tonight. We know what that name is. I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I'm not here to put anybody down or anybody's church down. Thank God for any church anywhere that's trying to do any good at all. But a church name can't save anybody. The name of your church, the Apostolic Church, can't save anybody. The name of the United Pentecostal Church can't save anybody. The name Bear cannot save anybody. Amen? The name Rutledge, the name Cannon cannot save anybody. The name Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic,
or anywhere of any church name cannot save anybody. But I know a name that was given among men to back you angels, and it was given to us. Get on out of my sight and give me a little shouting room. I don't read where fallen angels can be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost, but I read where you as a human being, he's given you a name that you can be baptized into. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I don't want to weary you, and I hope it don't come across that way. But I've been reading, and I read in the new Schraff Herzog Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge in Volume 1, the 1966 edition. And I've been reading in page 435 and page 436. Quote, "The New Testament knows only baptism in the name of Jesus." And it lists Acts 2:38, 8:16, 19:5, Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3, 1 Corinthians 1:13-15, which still occurs even in the second and third centuries. While the Trinitarian formula only occurs once in Matthew 28:19. Listen to me. It is unthinkable that the apostolic church thus disobeyed the express command of the Lord,
right,
which it otherwise considered the highest authority. End quote. They didn't disobey Matthew 28:19.
No, no.
We're the only ones that really obey it.
Amen.
We know what the name of the Father is.
Amen.
We know what the name of the Son is.
Amen.
We know what the name of the Holy Ghost is.
Amen.
And I'll know you one more. We know what the name of wonderful counselor, the mighty God, and blessing Father, the Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, Amen. Angel, Ancient, and Ancient, and Apostle, right, which we are in the Lord, beginning of Christ, God, together, Father. Bread of life, bread of sacrifice, bread of keeping out of bed, right, one star, blessed is the Father. Glory is. Tell me that name. Come on. Let me read page 436 in that same encyclopedia. Quote, "The Greek phrase, baptize in or into the name Jesus, means that the act of baptism takes place with the utterance of the name of Jesus." You know what that's saying? End quote. You haven't been baptized until you went to the water. I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Woo! Rabbi, I'm here to shout about it tonight. In the Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, published by Scribner's in 1924, T.N.T. Clark, Edinburgh, Volume 1, page 377, brother, up to 380, principally page 380. Christian baptism, when connected with the use of a formula, is alluded to four times in the New Testament. That's 2:38, 8:16, 10:48, 19:5. And the formula is never that of Matthew 28:19. But twice in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38, 10:48, and twice into the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 8:16, Acts 19:5. That this was the usual formula of Christian baptism is supported by the Pauline epistles, which speak of being baptized only into Christ or into Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3 and 4. Now, let me tell you the rest of it, because it just blows my mind. Let me go on. Is it possible to reconcile these facts with the belief that Christ commanded the disciples to baptize in the triune name? The obvious explanation of the silence of the New Testament church on the triune name and the use of another formula in Acts and Paul is that the other formula was the earlier, and that the triune formula is a later addition. It would require very strong argument to controvert this presumption, and none seems to exist. End quote. And you can look till hell becomes an ice skating rink, and you won't find it either. You find they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, come on. If we're going to get saved, let's go the Bible way. Just throw one more at you and I'll get out of here. A book called The History of Christianity in the Apostolic Age, published in 1906 by A.C. McKifford, page 61. Quote, of the Trinitarian formula, into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which later became universal in the church, we have no trace in the New Testament except in the single passage, Matthew 28:19. It is difficult to suppose that it was employed in the early days by the primitive Christians with whom we are here concerned. For it involves a conception of the nature of the rite which was entirely foreign to the thought of these primitive Christians, and indeed no less foreign to the thought of Paul. When and how the formula arose, we do not know. End quote. Well, I know. Encyclopedia Britannica, volume 3, 1910, the 11th edition, page 365, 366, page 366 said, the formula of Rome is, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm through quoting them. This is me talking. Here I go. The way the apostles baptized, I tell you, is in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, which would you rather do it? The way the apostles did it, or the way some tradition does it? I'll give you a choice tonight. Make your decision. Obey Jesus. Obey the apostles. Obey the Word of God. Save yourselves. Save yourselves. But you don't understand, preacher. My wife wouldn't come if I got involved in this. Save yourselves. But my husband wouldn't come if I got involved in this. Save yourselves. But my mom and my daddy would all throw me out of their social circle if I got involved with this. Save yourselves. But it's not popular where I work. Save yourselves. It's not popular at school. It's not popular at the university. Save yourselves. But I'm the only one in my area of the city that would even have this. Save yourselves. Let me hear you say, save yourselves.
Save yourselves.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Listen to me, please. I only take this step because I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I'd rather obey Jesus than Peter. Jesus spoke Matthew 28:19, and Peter spoke Acts 2:38. I'd rather obey Jesus. First of all, Matthew 16:18, Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom.
Amen.
And Christ knew all things. 21:17, John 2:23 and 4 and 5 of John, 1:24 of the book of Acts, 2:23 of Revelation, 1 Samuel 17:6, and Matthew 9:4, and Hebrews 4:12-13. He knew all things, and yet he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Acts 1:2 said he gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. He chose.
Amen.
But I'd rather obey Jesus than Peter. Can I ask you a question in all honesty? Were you there when Jesus spoke Matthew 28:19? Anybody here care to raise their hand and thus say, I was there and I heard Jesus and I can tell you what he really meant? Raise your hand. And there's nobody you're talking to today that was there.
with all due respect to the DDs and double LDs and PhDs driving LTDs, they wasn't there either. Now, if you really want to know what Jesus meant, you need to talk to somebody that was there.
Amen. All right.
I said somebody that was there. Second Peter 1 verse 16, we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Somebody shout eyewitness.
Eyewitness.
1 John 1 verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Somebody shout seen and heard.
Seen and heard.
Hebrews 2 and 3 said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? If Jesus intended the words of Matthew 28:19 to be repeated in a baptismal formula, I ask you the curious question, when was it ever confirmed by usage? Show me one place anywhere in all 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 772,692 words, 31,173 verses, that they use the name Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that is the words Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in water baptism. You won't find it. It's not there. So when was it ever confirmed? What did they confirm, friend? Scarcely less than a month after Jesus had ascended out of their sight into heaven, they were baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They were eyewitnesses. They confirmed what they heard. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Somebody say, we have the mind of Christ.
We have the mind of Christ.
Paul said he had the mind of Christ.
Right.
Not the mind of Peter. Not the mind of James, John, Matthew, Mark, Andrew, Luke, Philip, Thomas, Timothy, Titus, Paul, Silas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, Judas, brother James. Paul said, I've got the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, I respect you in your dreams and visions, although probably a lot of it is hallucinations. If you can't corroborate, collaborate, coordinate, systematize, amalgamize, organize them with the support of the Holy Scriptures, it's just acid indigestion. Now, I'm not trying exactly to be funny. Because we've got a lot of people running down the mountain with tablets under their arms saying, God told me this, God told me that, God woke me up in the middle of the night and said this. Well, I believe God can speak in dreams and visions. I'm not lambasting that. But Scripture's already said, 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And this goulash, that spoken word, is as inspired as the written word. I don't buy in our day because the book is finished. Revelation 22:17-18. And so whatever you say verbally has got to agree with what's written. And if you're going to tell me, I want you to put your finger on the book, on the chapter, and on the verse, just like I'm doing with you tonight.
Hallelujah.
If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the law. Now, Paul said he had the mind of Christ. How did Paul baptize with the mind of Christ? I'm glad you asked me that question. For Acts 19, verse 5, when they heard this, Paul rebaptized 12 of John the Baptist's followers.
Right.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Now, Paul said he had the mind of Christ. Don't argue with that. Don't argue with that. Let me not be smart aleck. But listen, if you're pastor, if you're preacher, if you're evangelist, whoever, whatever, whenever, and however, tells you that he's a God-called man, you listen to him. You listen to him when he takes somebody to the water. And when he says, I want a confession of your faith, all right, a lot of them say a lot of different things, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I now baptize you, or thee, whatever. Here's the point. And he says, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he don't have the mind of Christ. Paul said he had the mind of Christ, and he baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. If your leader has got the mind of Christ, and I don't mean to be sarcastic, I'm just trying to preach truth. If your leader's got the mind of Christ, you'll hear him say, I now baptize you into the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
it would be self-evident if angels were fluttering here tonight and you knew so. Oh, I believe. If a man's hand was to scribble on the wall, like Belshazzar's festive hall in Daniel 5. Oh, I believe. If your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather came back from the dead and said, son, get down there at that apostolic church, get yourself baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, I've done been over the river. Oh, yes. Grandpa. I don't want to be smart aleck, but you still wouldn't believe. If you will not accept the Word of God as the final authority beyond disputation, you will not believe. Please let me plead with you. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait next week. Save yourself. Act on the Word of God tonight. Repent of your sins tonight. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins tonight. And receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues tonight. And with everybody shout, amen. 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 I want you to raise your hands and pray for every lost soul that might be in this building. I want you to pray for conviction to seize their hearts. I want you to pray that they'll have the courage to act on truth tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Save yourselves. Let's stand together if you will. Oh, I feel this so strongly tonight. Just before we sing an issue of invitation, again, would you lay a hand on somebody? Brother, brother, sister, sister, reach over one more time. Only God knows the need here tonight. Pray for that individual. God only knows what they might be facing. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that they'll have the courage to act on truth tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing. If you want to come and pray, if you want to come and repent, afterward, if you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if you want the Holy Ghost, you get yourself on down here tonight. If you want to pray back through, if you need God, if you want to come on home as a prodigal, you come on down here tonight. If you need some help, get yourself on down here tonight.
Come.